This week on the show, believe it or not, we are leading off with the Boston Bruins. We will have Celtics and Patriots thoughts as well, and a staple of childhood television gone before his time. We discuss all that and more coming up. Calling It starts right now. All right, welcome to the show. Welcome to Calling It, ladies and gentlemen. I am Alex Barth, joined by Alex Lebowitz. This is the Calling It podcast, powered by CLNS, recording on Tuesday, November 27th, our first post-Thanksgiving show. Did you have a good holiday, Mr. Lebowitz?
I did. It was great. We got the smoker going, made some brisket.
Nice.
Some turkey, obviously. Nice. And we're not going to have the turkey discussion. I think it's, turkey gets a bad rap. But it was good.
Kevin Lazar pissed me off about that enough this week.
It's, you know, people who don't like turkey just don't have good cooks in their family.
That's what I said. He must not be having good turkey.
And because my family, we know how to cook, and turkey's delicious every time. And you can make sandwiches out of it. It's a versatile meat. So, yeah, it was good. Other than that, it was good.
I enjoyed my Thanksgiving as well. What's become one of my favorite things to do every year is to go back, you know, the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, everybody's in town. You go to the local bar, see everybody from high school. And I had this experience last year at my five-year high school reunion. And I had it again, and I wanted to bring it up on the show last year, and we never got to it, but I'm going to do it now. I see all these people that I see once a year at this thing I haven't talked to in 5, 6, 7 years from high school. Oh, I watch all your stuff. I hear you're doing a podcast. It's so great. That's awesome. I love what you do. I see what our interaction is on Twitter. I'm realistic. The number of people who told me that they listen to this show does not add up. So I will say this right now. If you went to high school with me and you saw me at the bar on Wednesday night and you told me you listened to the show and you're hearing this, text me, call me, email me, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, at Real Alex Barth. Let me know that you heard this rant, and there'll be some sort of prize. I've got to figure it out. But the number of people who told me listen to the show, I'm not buying it. So if you went to high school with me, and you know what? If you went to high school with Lebowitz, hit him up. Let's see how real this is. All right. I said we were going to start with the Boston Bruins. As many of you who listen to the show know, Lebowitz and I aren't quite Bruins illiterate. It's a lot to balance following all the sports in this town. The Bruins play on the West Coast, I guess, is my excuse a lot. I'm not always up. Lebowitz, I think you're just indifferent.
No, not as much indifferent. If it's between the Celtics and the Bruins, I'm watching the Celtics, and I also have to be up at like 4:30 in the morning.
Right. Well, that's actually a very good excuse. You get up very early. So, believe it or not, we have to turn to our intern, Ryan LeMay. You've heard us mention him on the show before, but he fancies himself a Bruins expert. He's even helped out at times with Bruins coverage on CLNS Media. So, Ryan, thanks for kind of being our ace in the hole here, a pinch hitter.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for hanging on for a 3-minute open show before we bring you on. So I guess we defer to you here. The Bruins have gotten off to a better start than the Celtics, which I don't think a lot of people realize. But they're still right now, I believe, outside looking in on a playoff spot or in one of the final spots.
They're in the final wild card spot
right
now, I believe.
Yeah. Spot right now, obviously a long year, but they say U.S. Thanksgiving, and it is a Canadian sport, so you say U.S. Thanksgiving is a measuring stick. How much of the slow start they've had is based on injuries versus, you know, every other team in their division made massive improvements in the offseason. They just kind of sat there twiddling their thumbs. How much of it is injuries versus just who they are as a team?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell because last year the Bruins really overperformed with all the young guys they had. Guys like Danton Heinen, Anders Bjork stepping up, Ryan Donato as well. But this year, they're a lot more proven. These young guys, there's a lot more expectation on them. And we're going to see when they get healthy how good this team really is. But for now, it's more of this a learning process for the young guys that are getting the chance to play.
Look, it sounds like, you know, Char is going to be out for a while. Bergeron's going to be out for a while. Do they have enough time to get healthy and kind of right the ship?
Yeah, they definitely have the guys that have stepped up on the D lines are insane. Like Connor Clifton, nobody really expected him to do anything. Jacob Lauzon, he's been a great guy. Matt Greslick's been stepping up. There's just so many young guys that don't usually get ice time, but now that they've given the ice time, they've earned it, and they've really stepped up big for the Bruins D when they needed them the most. So I'm really impressed with how the Bruins have stepped up when they what the injury problems they've had. So
How big is it to get Zdeno Chara back? And what have you seen from him this season? Obviously, 40 already having some injury concerns early on in the season. Did I cut out there?
You did a little. You sounded pretty. I want to let everybody. Well, Leibowitz, before I make this declaration, you are sober?
I am sober, yes.
Sober enough? Okay, because it was just – you were there. It was just slurring it a lot. You
slurring?
Sounded, it made it sound like you were pretty hammered.
Okay, that must have been the internet.
It was the internet.
It's probably the internet. Internet. So I'll repeat the question. I'm not drunk, I swear. I'm just tired.
I mean, we could be a little tipsy and do this. I don't think there'd be anything wrong with that.
We'll do a show. We talked about it, getting really drunk and then recording a podcast
like
and
a
not publishing
history, calling it.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. You brought that up when we were in the Cape.
Anyway, I have my whiteboard here. I'm going to write down. We're coming up with some ideas off the air too. Worst state in the U.S. and drunk episode.
Drunk history going. Okay. So my question was Zdeno Chara. You brought up injury concerns. 41 years old this season, obviously, and he got hurt. He's out for what, 3-4 weeks coming up. What do you expect to see from him when he does return, and how vital is he to forward?
A little still robotic there, but Chara's a big part of the team. He's on the first line D pair of Charlie McAvoy, of course. But Chara bounced back from an injury similar to this earlier in his career, and I can, even though he's really old now, I could still see him bouncing back from his injury and being just as good as he was before. He's a very valuable part of the team, and that doesn't change even with an injury like this one.
I mean, I think you definitely need that older presence with the team so young, and his size is. I mean, he uses a longer stick than the league limit, right? He got like a special exception. That's still
a thing. Has a special exception.
That's literally legally cheating. That's unfair. And, you know, he can be 50 and still using that stick, so that's huge.
Yeah.
Leibowitz, remind me, because again, I feel bad. It's been so long since we talked about the Bruins. Are you? You're not a Ras guy, right?
I think he gets a bad rap. I think that he's a decent goalie. He's definitely an above average goalie in the NHL. He's had a lot of success in Boston, I think, relatively speaking. And he struggles. He's inconsistent. Yaroslav Halak, I don't think there's a question there. I think Halak's someone who has fizzled out a little bit, and you're kind of seeing what he actually is going forward. And I think that there is a lot of hysteria surrounding him.
See, I'm just nervous. So Ryan, because I think this last time we talked Bruins, I think was before you were involved with the show. I'm not a huge Ras guy. I think he's wildly inconsistent. He can be great at times, but I'd rather have an average, consistent goalie than a guy who goes between top five and bottom five in the league like that. But I'm getting nervous now because what I saw from David Price, what stops Tuukka Rask from doing that? And I know that's an insane take to have, is just to say that Tuukka Rask is going to have this monumental turnaround. But I mean, we saw him do it in the playoffs one time. We did. And it was a long time ago, but he did. I think Halak's been as expected. I don't think he's very consistent either, but he's good for a longer
time. He's definitely
span of time.
Overperformed so far.
Right. He's overperformed. Yeah. And I know he's going to come back down to earth.
Yeah.
And part of me wants to say, well, then they're screwed because Tuukka Rask sucks, because that's what the old me would say. But this whole David Price thing has my brain in a total knot. Like, I don't feel – does Tuukka Rask have a David Price turnaround in him?
That would be amazing.
Really with that question.
And here's another thing. You look at this roster as constructed. You've seen what they've done. Obviously, they've had a ton of injuries. But you bring this roster into the playoffs, healthy even. With Tuukka Rask – I think you roll the dice. You said it. When he's at the top of his game, he's a top five goalie in the NHL. Don't you want to risk that? Don't you want him to be a part of that playoff run to see if maybe he can give you that eliteness, I guess? I would roll the dice with him.
That's not necessarily what I'm worried about. It's more so, you know, as we look at this team today, and I think we did this last year, as they went on that impressive winning streak around this time last year, and I was asking you each week, Leibowitz, are you in on them making the playoffs? Are you in on them making the playoffs? And I'm asking myself that question. And the only reason I'm not saying no is because for whatever reason, for the first time in 3 years, I suddenly think Tuukka Rask is going to magically turn it around.
Well, it's not
going to
be the goaltending. It won't be the goaltending that gets them into the playoffs. It's going to be the first line.
But it could be the goaltending that keeps them out of the playoffs is more what my issue is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I'm not I see a million reasons this team could make the playoffs, but I'm looking for the reason that they won't. And to me, that's usually Tuukka Rask, is that, you know, he's going to go on some stretch, like a 3-week stretch where he allows 4 goals every game, because he's done that. And based on this start, the team can't afford that. I don't think they can afford it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that I agree to an extent. You know, Tuukka, he just has to be consistent. Ryan, you mentioned it. This team does have the top-tier talent to kind of carry them to an extent in the playoffs, that first line, if healthy, when that time comes. But it comes down to the consistency from Tuukka Rask. Again, I don't think there's another option. I don't think Yaro Halak is a guy who's going to be good enough for you to really make that run. Maybe he is, but he's just not the best option. Tuukka, inconsistent, still a great goalie when it comes down to it.
Last year, the thing that really killed the Bruins, though, was the secondary scoring. Because the first line, they were getting it done, but when they had games that they wouldn't score against the Lightning, and the Lightning shut down the Bruins' top line in the playoffs, then there was no other option to score, and that's why the Bruins lost that series last year. So if the Bruins really want a chance, they say they're going to have to go out and acquire a guy like Artemi Panarin before the trade deadline, if they actually want a shot at making a run in the playoffs this year. Because they need somebody else to score besides the top three guys. And they still don't have that.
Let's close on this, because it's getting about time to wrap this segment up. But Libitz, we did this when you first joined the show. I didn't prep this. I should have told you. I just thought of it. But play along with me. We did this when Libitz first joined the show, just kind of a get to know the people who are on. I kind of took a hot topic from each sport, and Libitz just gave us 30 seconds on his beliefs. So that's hockey. Libitz, I can start with NFL, and then if you want to take one or two and come up with a take for Ryan, and we'll just kind of grill him.
All right. I'll try to come up with something right now.
All right, I'll start with football, Ryan. NFC, really contested. Rams, Saints at the top. Who's your best team in the NFC?
It's really tough to go with the Saints because of their defense, but I have to go Saints. I really think that Drew Brees is having the kind of year that he had when he won the Super Bowl the year of Katrina. He's having that kind of year, and I think they're going to do it this year. The Rams looked so lackluster in the playoffs last year. I don't see them really doing much better, even though they have a much better team, I feel like.
Lebowitz, you got one?
Okay, I'll go baseball. Okay. Red Sox coming off of a World Series win. Obviously, a few guys that have hit the open market, Craig Kimbrel, Nathan Eovaldi, you can name a bunch. What should be the priority for the Red Sox this offseason?
Making sure they have a closer, whether it be a guy like Joe Kelly that they bring in from the bullpen and make him a real closer, or maybe another guy in the bullpen that becomes a closer, but making sure you have that closer that you can go to when you need him the most.
All right, how about this for a follow-up, and then we'll get to basketball. Nathan Eovaldi, legitimate closer, or is he too good to take out of the rotation?
Why would you take him out of the rotation when you can
Thank
use him
you.
As a starter, I feel
Thank
like?
Thank you. Right? Like, that is the worst take of this offseason, that Nathan Eovaldi should be a closer.
It's a waste to put him in the bullpen or as a closer, I feel like. I don't know.
He'd be great. You look at his stuff, though. I mean, it does make
Oh, his stuff
sense
is nasty.
He'd be good, but...
He'd be able to reach 106 if you put him in the bullpen. Yeah. Look at the jump Joe Kelly made.
I'm telling you, if the Red Sox want to acquire a reliever, the Cardinals have a guy that legitimately throws 105. I'm blanking on his name right now, but I'm all about that. All right, basketball, and ready for this big market tease. This will be our next topic after the break, but Ryan, we're going to let you touch on it real quick. Celtics off to a 500 start. We're in late November. Are you worried yet?
Yeah, I am worried. I don't know what Brad's going to do about that offense. It's not the defense that's the problem. They're still top 10 in the league, but the offense is a mess, and they don't know how to shoot. They don't know how to shoot. That's it.
All right, Ryan LeMay, our intern, we had to give him some FaceTime. He's been working hard. He's earned it.
Thanks,
did
guys.
Ithaca College proud, Ryan. Are you still trying to be sports director? Is that decided yet?
I mean, I'm aiming for it. I don't know if I'm going to get it, but I mean, I got to work my way up eventually.
All right, well, you're
Who's
on here.
Cam Pratt?
Cam Pratt's the guy right now, yeah.
Shout out Cam Pratt.
Shout out Cam Pratt. You're on with a couple of former ICB sports directors right now, so if and when you get it, we'll have to see if we can get the three sports directors on together. Ryan, this was a lot of fun. We're going to have you on again soon.
All right, awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right, on the other side, Celtics, are you worried? We'll talk about that. This is Calling It.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
All right, welcome back to Calling It, powered by CLNS. Alex Barth along with Alex Lebowitz. That was cool to have Ryan on.
Yeah, he did a great job. He's worked very hard for us, and he's a very knowledgeable Bruins fan, so that's it's always good to add to the team.
As a former sports director, I'm giving him my endorsement. As
same here.
Because what we think about WICB matters so much. What former sports directors think about WICB matters.
I still wear my Letterman. We didn't get Lettermans.
I still have some ICB swag that I break out occasionally. And all the you know, 100 people that I saw on Wednesday who claim they listened to the show who went to high school with are so confused what WICB is now. Let's talk about the Celtics because they have the same record as the Sacramento Kings, or I think they're like a game off now. As we record this on November 27th, you are a South Park connoisseur. I know that.
Of course.
The most recent episode, the whole kind of when should we start to worry? Right.
Oh, yeah. Definitely time to consider to start worrying.
It's time that the possibility that we should consider to prepare to start to worry. Like, that's Celtics fans right now, right? I felt like that entire episode was very relevant to climate change, sure, but it was super relevant to where Celtics fans are at.
That's a great comparison, yeah.
None of them want to admit that it's time to worry. They're all saying, yeah, give them a little more time. They should absolutely be worried right now. This is not the team. There's not remotely close to the team we thought we'd see, and you can't blame injuries. You can't blame a tough schedule. They played some bad teams. I don't know where the blame is other than they're just not that good of a team.
Yeah, they need to do something. I don't know what it is, if it's a roster move or what have you, but something needs to change because there's just too much complacency. And you look at how they came into the season, and I don't know. I think the thing that ignited this team prior to this year was the fact that they were the underdogs, that they were chippy. You know, you talk about the Isaiah Thomas Celtics and then moving over to a new regime. Will they be good enough to topple the Cavaliers? There's all this stuff surrounding them, but they were doubted.
I think they liked that.
Oh, of course. You rally behind it. But as soon as they become the favorites, they fizzle. And I think there's something to be said for that. I don't know what it is, but there's something there.
I think what it is that, you know, Terry Rozier got to be an NBA superstar last year. You could make the argument that he was talked about more than anybody else during the playoffs.
Yeah. Right?
With the whole Eric Bledsoe thing and then the Scary Terry stuff. And now he's back to being a seventh man. And I think he resents that. I think he's trying to go out there every game and be that superstar again. I think he's upset he's not getting the superstar minutes he thinks he earned during the playoffs last year. To a lesser extent, I think you could say the same about Jaylen Brown. Here's a guy that's never been the best, never not been the best player on his team. Suddenly, you know, further down the depth chart. I don't think he likes that. I think, you know, Kyrie maybe his head's getting a little too big for it. I question his dedication to basketball. He's suddenly too cool for everything. You know, he's too cool for Thanksgiving. He's too cool for basketball, saying he wants to retire at 31. We saw that viral practice video. Apparently he's too cool for gravity. And now releasing his new shoes on December 27th, he's too cool for Christmas. So I think he's out of his head a little bit. Yeah, I think this team needed to be the underdog. A change that go ahead, and then I got to change, but go ahead.
Well, the change, we might have the same thing. You mentioned Terry Rozier to start off. I mean, I think it's a matter of when they trade him, not if. To get a veteran, I don't know what they'd get, but they need something else. They need to switch it up. The problem is you can get rid of a guy, but that's not necessarily going to fix things. I think you might need to bring someone in. Well, and Kyrie Irving talked about it a week ago or 2 weeks ago, saying they need a 15-year vet. Now, it's hard to come by those people, but you need someone to kind of be the glue on that roster. Right now, they don't have it. It's definitely not Al Horford. It's definitely not Kyrie Irving. And it's not Brad Stevens right now.
So a couple of things to what you just said. I was thinking smaller change first, and all I was going to say is the lineup last night with Brown and who was the other one? With Brown and who else was out of lineup last night? Brown and Hayward out, and then you put in Smart and Morris. I think that should be their primary starting lineup at least for the next couple of weeks. I think that they've been coming out flat in the edge that Smart and Morris bring, the physicality, where they put the level of play. I think they need that at the beginning of a game. Rozier's absolutely a trade piece. And when Kyrie's saying that about the veteran actually really concerned me, because you know who that guy's supposed to be? That's kind of the bad guy in the locker room.
The veteran.
That's been to a finals and knows how to win. But do you know who on that roster that's supposed to be?
It's supposed to be Kyrie.
It's absolutely supposed to be Kyrie Irving. He almost willed a team to the finals that had LeBron James on it. Kyrie should have been the MVP of that finals. I think everybody knows that. He doesn't want to be the bad guy. He doesn't want to be the guy that tells them how things are done. Brad can't do it because this is the oldest team he's ever coached, right? All those teams at Butler and then the Celtics teams were very young. He's always coached guys with intrinsic motivation, whether it was March Madness, scholarships, the underdogs like you talked about. This is the first time he has to go in a locker room and be like, you all suck, prove me wrong, and he can't do it. And I think Al Horford is a good leader, but he's a quiet lead by example guy. He's a Dustin Pedroia. He's not the guy that's going to stand up on the table, you know, start smashing things in the locker room like David Ortiz and get everybody fired up. That's supposed to be Kyrie Irving, and he won't do it, and that gives me reason for concern. Now, you mentioned a trade, and I want to throw this hypothetical out there. I may have said this on the show last time, because we talked about Draymond and Kevin Durant, right?
I don't know if we did. No, I don't think so. Maybe so that was a last week.
I think the war. I didn't. Did I? I didn't do.
I thought you were doing.
How much did we drink during Thanksgiving?
Too much. Not enough.
I think the Warriors should be pushing Draymond Green out the door. If you have any chance of keeping Kevin Durant, you keep him. He's a top three player in the league. So that being said, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, and a first-round pick for Draymond Green. That's what I'm looking at if I'm the Celtics. I think Draymond fills an important role now. I think if Al Horford's contract is up at the end of the year, if you don't want to re-sign Al Horford, he can take that role. He can be a hard ass. He's won championships. He knows what he's doing, and he's another physical presence. That's the kind of trade the Celtics should be looking to make right now.
I don't know. I think he brings energy. I think he brings physicality. Yeah. He's the most versatile guy in the league, you could argue.
He's a total Brad Stevens guy.
You think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Draymond Green was basketball.
Well, in that sense, but personality-wise, he's not.
And people are going to say that, but name me the last NBA team that won a title without having a nutcase on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Mavericks back in the day.
I mean, that's considered the biggest, one of the biggest, if not the biggest upset in the NBA Finals history. And people tell me the Spurs, but I count Popovich as a nutcase.
But can you argue that Marcus Smart's that nutcase?
But, I mean, you look LeBron, Durant, I mean, you go back. I think Garnett was a nutcase, even if it was the best way possible. Like, those are all, you know, those were all the best, second, third best players on their team. Smart definitely has that mentality, but I think it needs to be a guy with that talent, too. And you put Durant on the Celtics right now, and I think he's the second best player on the team.
You mean Green?
Green, sorry. Yeah, Durant would be the best player on the team. Sorry. Yeah. Yes, if you can get Kevin Durant, you get Kevin Durant. But I think Draymond Green would be the second best player in the Celtics right now. And
he absolutely would.
He brings that nutcase attitude that I think maybe this team is lacking. Yeah, Smart has it, but he's not. And I'm a huge Marcus Smart guy. Again, I want him in the starting lineup. I want him playing more minutes. He's not that good of a player, though.
I hear what you're saying. I just don't know if I want any part of Draymond Green if you don't really need him. I don't know if that's the move to make. If they made that move.
Something major like that, though.
Yeah, potentially, but if you already have personality problems on your roster, you already have egos that are kind of getting out of control, at least that's what it appears like. Mm-hmm. I don't think someone who's about to push out the second best player in the NBA is the person to bring aboard to try to fix that.
That's fair.
I think that he's someone who would just exasperate the problem. Maybe they play a little bit better. Maybe it would be a temporary improvement, but I think that guy's a ticking time bomb. I think he's someone that will take advantage of being playing under a lax coach like Brad Stevens. And I don't even think a guy like Danny Ainge would go for that. He's someone who stayed away from DeMarcus Cousins, and he stayed away from a lot of guys who have these personalities.
Don't even get me started on DeMarcus Cousins. They should have. If they had picked him up this offseason, I wouldn't be worried at all because you have a guy like that coming back.
Oh, that'd be huge. That would be huge.
Massive. So on that note, we're 21 games in to this season. I mean, a quarter of the season's done. For even the most, and I think you said you're worrying now, right? Did you say that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and I am too. For the most conservative Celtics fan, and I talked to people today who said they weren't worried. When does that levee breach? When is that benchmark? Because Toronto and Milwaukee are still ahead of them. Those are better teams. All it takes is one team, you know, going on a surprise run. The Celtics are in seventh right now in the East. All it takes is one of the other teams ahead of them going on a surprise run. All of a sudden, if you're the Celtics, you're the fourth seed. And in the second round of the playoffs, you have to go into Toronto without home court advantage in the second round. So, I mean, for the most conservative Celtics fan, Christmas? If they're still 500 at Christmas, do you start to worry? Like, that benchmark's got to be coming up, that this becomes a universal issue among even the green teamers.
Yeah, I'd say Christmas is a logical point. If not by then, I don't know what's up with you, because the reality is you're 20 games through the season. You're in a massive hole already. You're the seventh seed. You got to fight back against teams that are, 17-3 right now.
Right.
That's a massive deficit. And if you feel confident that they can climb their way back on top of the Eastern Conference, I think you're probably smoking something. So I don't know. And I also got to look at the
Lucky's pipe. You're puffing from Lucky's pipe.
Exactly. So this is who they have to start December. And this should be easy money for them. They got the Timberwolves, the Knicks, and then the Bulls.
They got blown out by the Knicks last week.
They did. But this is going to be a home game.
That was a home game, too. They got blown out by the Knicks at home. Let's not forget about that.
That is true.
Let's not.
So if they do that twice, then maybe start to worry.
I'll say that if they lose to the Knicks again, yes, it should be all right. Then I'm going to be legitimately worried about the playoffs. Not just, when I say worried, I'm talking about potentially getting to the finals. If they lose to the Knicks again at home, I'm going to be worried about them making the playoffs. I will say this, and I know you know this too. There are Celtics fans that are so dug in with this team. They could be 41-40 entering game 82, and there'll be fans saying, well, the season's not over yet. They could be like we're going to get that, and it's going to be infuriating. All right. On the other side, kind of a sad event today, but it has some happy memories with it. I think that's a good enough tease. That's just vague enough.
Yeah,
not too vague. We'll touch on that on the other side. This is Calling It, powered by CLNS.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Are y'all ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
I can't hear you!
Aye, aye, Captain!
Oh! Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Welcome back to Calling It. Alex Barth along with Alex Lebowitz. We're powered by CLNS Media. Some sad news to start off the week. Steven Hillenburg, the creator of SpongeBob SquarePants, passed away on Tuesday at the age of 57 from complications from ALS. Obviously, sad to see that, but maybe responsible for I would put him second to Tom Brady for the most happiness I got as a child, the person who gave me the most happiness as a child. Because I mean, SpongeBob, you're talking pantheon of shows. I know people talk about it as a 90s show. I mean, that's, you talk about the all time great kids TV shows, Flintstones, Looney Tunes, Sesame Street, SpongeBob. I mean, it's easily top five, if not top three.
It's number one. I mean, I think
you,
it's
you have
number,
it at
one.
Number one
for me personally. That's a personal list. Number one. Children's show. And the thing is, it wasn't just for kids. This is the one show when I had Nickelodeon on, my dad usually couldn't stand what was on there. But yeah, he'd sit down and watch Patrick Starr do stupid stuff on that show. He'd watch all that. He'd watch it with me all the time because it's funny. It was just topical. It was funny. It was transcendent. But didn't matter what age you were. It was really fun. Topical is not the right word, but it was transcendent. You'll be able to watch that in 30 years.
It was timeless. It was timeless. Like, it's timeless. Always going to be. It's the early episodes are still relevant, and those are
absolutely
almost 30 years old now.
No, not that old. 20 years old.
99. Yeah, you're right. It'll be 20 years next year.
So yeah. And when you talk about the great cartoons of all time, this is my, I think they're on the Mount Rushmore personally.
Oh yeah.
You have in no particular order, The Simpsons, South Park, Family Guy, and SpongeBob. That's for
you're
any.
Put the Flintstones on there?
I don't know.
That was one of the first successful. I mean, that kind of got it started.
So that'll be the fifth one for me because I don't care about the Flintstones.
We're adding five to five.
we're adding a fifth.
That's
one.
Fine. We're NBC Sports. Yes. I do want. I meant to say this at the beginning too. Like I said, Steven Hillenburg died of ALS. There's a bunch of great ALS charities. But just to throw out a local one, PeteFrades.com/donate if you want to help out. PeteFrades.com/donate. Obviously, Pete with the Ice Bucket Challenge, a well-publicized case of ALS. But you talk about SpongeBob as a great cartoon. A lot of people forget SpongeBob was originally supposed to be an adult cartoon. They were marketing it to Adult Swim.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, there's still remnants of it left. Sandy Cheeks lives in Bikini Bottom.
Yeah.
The Krusty Krab in Bikini Bottom. you know, just kind of the lack of clothing from the general characters.
Mr. Krabs and Bikini Bottom.
Right. Yeah. Bikini Bottom was a lot of it, but it was originally, I mean, Mr. Krabs being greedy, there was a lot more that they could have done with that. Squidward's nose, we all know that one. Like, it was originally designed, it was inspired by Ren and Stimpy in part, which was an adult cartoon that they just put on Nickelodeon. I mean, you go back and watch Ren and Stimpy. Well, it's wild that we got to watch that.
I mean, if you and my brothers are much older than me, or I have, you know, my oldest brother's a lot older. So I was watching a lot of that 90s Nickelodeon throwback stuff when I was very young. They used to have a channel called Nicktoon, which was just retro Nickelodeon.
Well, they still have. So midnight to 4 a.m. on like channel 228, they go back. It's like Hey Arnold, Ren and Stimpy, Rocko's Modern Life, Rugrats. It's like all that good stuff. Rocket Power.
Ah, Real Monsters. Remember that one?
I think that's on. That was a good show. Yeah, Angry Beavers.
Angry Beavers.
I loved Angry Beavers. I was a big Angry Beaver. I don't remember why. That was one of my favorites.
All those shows. All those shows I watched religiously. They were awesome. A lot of fun. And I mean, 90s Nickelodeon. There's nothing better as a kid. And SpongeBob kind of changed it. If you go back,
it changed the tone a little bit. It did.
Definitely. Because after that, you have shows like Fairly Odd Parents and Jimmy Neutron.
Fairly Odd Parents the same people as SpongeBob?
I'm not sure, but it was the same.
That was the same people as another show, but I forget which one. Yeah. Jimmy Neutron was – well, that was a movie first, and that was one of the first shows that went movie to TV. Yeah. Jimmy Neutron was – remember all the parents get abducted by the egg aliens?
I thought that was after the show had started.
No, Jimmy Neutron started as a movie and then became a TV show. People forget about that. And it was one of the first shows to do that.
Oh, wow.
I didn't check on the years here. Hang on. But yeah, Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, came out in 2002. The movie Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius 2000. It was a summer movie in 2001. I remember going to see it.
Oh, wow.
I remember thinking during the movie, I'd love to see like more plots with this because the characters were good. It was funny.
The characters were great. Yeah.
Sheen was amazing. He was like one of the best early 90s Nickelodeon characters.
Charlie Sheen's son. Yeah.
Probably. Sheen Estevez, right? I think it was something like that.
Sheen Estevez. Yeah.
back to SpongeBob though. Favorite episode.
Favorite episode. Ooh.
Yeah.
I like obviously when he delivers pizza. Rock Bottom is one of the best of all time. Any show.
See, when I first watched it, I was probably seven, eight. I was afraid of that episode.
That episode is scary. And then there's Pinhead when they go to Sandy's place and she's hibernating.
Who are you calling Pinhead?
My favorites were the one with the boxing match.
Okay.
The Fry Cook games was good. And then the one where they have to paint Mr. Krabs' house. I always loved that one.
Yeah.
They get to paint on the dollar.
And then that was good. And they keep trying to wipe it away.
We have technology. Would GIFs even be worth it or GIFs? I got in an argument about somebody with that.
Yeah, it's GIFs. It's GIFs.
Okay. Would GIFs even be worth it without SpongeBob? Like, such a quotable and relatable show.
Oh, it's amazing. It's incredible. My brother had a tweet. He said 85% of the quotes that I do with my friends are from SpongeBob.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So favorite SpongeBob quote.
Favorite SpongeBob quote. Ah, geez. I don't know if I can pinpoint. I think there's just like specific scenes. Like the Krusty Krab song, my buddy Dan Butik, friend of the show.
Yeah.
He has a video of him doing that when he's got a couple drinks in, which is one of the funniest things. So for that. Because of that, that's one of my favorites. Also, the chocolate one.
Chocolate. That's a good one. I love. When I used to DJ, and now even now when I work late, when you have those overnight shifts. Oh boy, 3 a.m. Right when Patrick wakes up and he has the hamburger under his pillow. That's a great one. Who are you, people? Is a great one. Right when all the people hiding under. Who are you, people? And this one doesn't necessarily have as much context. You can't quote it as much, but it was just such a great moment in the show. We stole a balloon. That one.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I vaguely.
I forget why they think that they don't have any money and they want a balloon, Patrick and SpongeBob, and they take one and then they feel all guilty and they spend the whole day hiding. And eventually they end up in like the middle of town and like they're feeling really guilty and they're whispering about it. And then SpongeBob's like, what if this or this happens to us? And Patrick's like, that they're going to do all this to us. We stole a balloon at the top of his lungs. And then some cop here's like, yeah, on National Free Balloon Day or something.
Yeah. There's also,
when Patrick eats, when they're on the run, this might've been the same episode when they're on the run and they have to, like, they're at the campfire and Patrick eats his chocolate bar and then thinks SpongeBob ate it. Yeah. Do you remember that?
That was great. It's also the first episode of
the first episode's amazing.
And that's one of the most underrated things about it. Like for those of you that don't know, that's the bubble blowing episode when
isn't the first episode when he gets a job at Krusty Krab?
Is that the first episode?
I think it is.
I've been misled this entire time.
I'm gonna look this up. I was sure that the one where he gets the job that's the Kenny G song in the back or Tiny Tim song in the background.
Okay, yeah, you might be right.
1A Help Wanted. Yep.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
He has him get the spatula with something in Turbo Drive, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And then there's Doodle Bob, of course.
Doodle Bob, yep. Oh man, we could go on here.
It's an amazing
show. It's a whole show.
But this is the thing, like you talk about like The Simpsons, and I think SpongeBob, The Simpsons, I still watch religiously, and I know you did. But The Simpsons,
I still watch the old ones. I don't really watch the new ones anymore.
No, why would you? But The Simpsons, or SpongeBob was The Simpsons for people born after 1993.
Right.
I think. And even The Simpsons, I don't think that's entirely fair because I watch The Simpsons religiously too, and South Park for that matter, and even Family Guy. I watch too much television. But it was really just one of those shows. It's just a staple of any American kid's childhood. So rest in peace to Steve Hillenburg. It's too bad. I also have one little story I was going to share.
Yeah, go ahead.
That I teased before. My mom's friend is a comedian, or was a comedian. And he knew Tom Kenny, who voices SpongeBob SquarePants. He knew him very well, remained friends with him until his later years. And for his daughter's 10th birthday, my mom's friend, he called Tom Kenny, said, hey, you know, maybe you can call and talk to my daughter. So for his daughter's 10th birthday, she got a phone call from SpongeBob SquarePants.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
Imagine being 10 years old and talking to SpongeBob SquarePants on the phone.
Yeah. That's wild.
Unbelievable. I'm at 23, I'm ridiculously jealous of that 10-year-old little girl.
Anyway, this is some good times. SpongeBob season 12 debuted November 11th, and they're going to hit 20 years next year, and they got a movie apparently planned for 2020. So
the movie was good too.
A lasting legacy. Oh, Hasselhoff. Hasselhoff. Oh, yeah. The movie's very quotable. Goofy That's Goober amazing. Is a Goofy Goober song. That's my jam right there.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
All right, before we wrap it up, you got a quick thought on the Patriots? I know you did some prep. We didn't get to it.
Quick thought on the Patriots. Yeah, I'm sick of Josh McDaniels. I think that throughout the season, there's been suspect play call throughout his career, really.
Yeah,
and people have been pointing to, you know, it's personnel. Brady doesn't have enough targets. They have to cater the playbook to that. And then it's Brady. Brady is his arm isn't what it used to be. You can't make certain plays. I think it's just Josh McDaniels isn't a very good play caller.
He's not.
And when you go back to the same play after the same play and it didn't work the first time, you keep trying it, maybe you should stop doing that. But it's continuous, and it happens time and time again, multiple times during the game. And I just think it's something that I'm tired of. And I do think he's out the door. We talked about before the show, Mike McCarthy's job out in Green Bay. Maybe he's going there. I don't even know if they'd hire him.
I don't know
if he's the guy I'd want.
I wouldn't want him if I'm the Packers. He loves to put quarterbacks in arm's way. He basically made it to Indy. I don't know if you saw the play where Jacoby Brissett threw the ball to Andrew Luck and Luck got leveled, but something tells me Josh McDaniels approved of that play. He saw that and thought that was a good idea.
He faxed it in, yeah.
All right, we will be back next week. Plenty more to talk about. I have a list, so we always have to, before the show, come up with what the random third segment is going to be. So I have a list now on the whiteboard here. Worst state in the U.S., drunk episode, Sully's and Whiskey Priest, they're closing all the dive bars in Boston, and Large Cow. So let us know on Twitter, @ Call It Podcast, which one of those you want to see next week. Check us out online, clnsmedia.com. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.